declare tonight? Come on. Come on.
What's out there seeking? The Lord is in this place.
Servant said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So Elijah said, go up, you go say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. And now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind. And there was a heavy rain. There was a heavy rain. There was a heavy rain. I said there was a heavy rain. Come on, church. There was a heavy rain. There was a heavy rain.
Jesus. Let it rain, Lord. Let it rain, Lord. Let it rain, Lord.
It's the cry of your heart's prayer.
Our midst, we're going to see a river springing forth. We're going to see dry bones come to life. The fruits of your labor have not gone in vain. God is saying now is the time that your prayers will be answered. Yes. The drought is over. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, I hear the sound of abundant rain. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. I hear the sound of abundant rain. It's coming, church. It's coming. The harvest is here. And the abundant rain that God sends is for a purpose. Those dry bones that will come to life, they are for a purpose. Out of this river of living water that's going to spring forth will flow healing. Will flow reconciliation, will flow peace, will flow joy. Church, we will not have room enough to contain it. That God did not know about any of this. Somehow we think that it's catching God by surprise. Nothing catches God by surprise. Wow. right where you are, right where you are, God is going to meet you. You're going to leave this place having a face-to-face encounter with the living God. You're not going to leave this place the same way you walked in. How about that? That is good enough for me. That is good enough for me. Me leaving this place different is good enough for me. It's a new rain coming, guys. It's a new rain. It's a new rain. Let it rain, Lord. Let it rain. So the servant went up and looked and said, there is nothing. There is nothing. Seven times he said, go again. Then again it came to pass the seventh time that the servant said. The servant said, there is a cloud. There is a cloud as small as a man's hand, rising out of the sea. Church, it's time to look outside, because there is a cloud as small as a man's hand, rising out of the ocean. It's a small cloud, nothing to boast about. Nothing to boast about. It's in the small things that God can bring birth to the miraculous, to the big things. So don't despise the small beginnings. The small things that God would do in your life. Because out of it, God's going to bring forth abundant rain. So he, Elijah, said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot. Go down before the rain stop you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was heavy rain. There was heavy rain. There was new rain. There was abundant rain. There was a mighty rain. I was meant to go there, but you know, this is where we are, and this is what we're going to pick up. Church, there is something brand new that is going to happen here. I don't know if you feel it. If you're not feeling it, there's something wrong. We need to talk. is something that God is about to unleash starting from this place. And I'm just honored to be part of it. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. I was going to say, turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18. But it seems like God was ahead of us. Okay, so we're just going to keep going. The backdrop of this story is this. There's been a drought in the land for 3.5 years. We're talking about 3.5 years of not a single drop of rain. Can you imagine us in Kodiak not having a single drop of rain? You know? Not a drop of rain. And everything, life depends on rain. For 3.5 years, the children of God suffered. That rain happened, that drought happened in Samaria, but yet again, out of that drought, the rest of Israel were also suffering from this drought. Not a drop of rain, no crops, no livestock, everything that was alive withered away until to the point that they were dying. There was no life, no birth. It was a place of drought where you wouldn't even hear the laughter or the cries of children. That would be a pretty dead place where you don't hear the laughter of children. When you hear children laugh and cry, it's a sign of life. It's a sign that there's something on the move, something bursting forth. It's life. So for 3.5 years, no crop, no livestock, the land was not producing what it was supposed to. Land, they're supposed to be producing things, crop. Life needs to be bring forth from the land. But when there is a drought, there is a stop. Of this for 3.5 years. Then Elijah shows up to King Ahab and he prophesied. He said, I hear the sound of abundant rain. And we're here confirming that word here in Kodiak right now, that we hear the sound of abundant rain. We might look outside right now and we see the sun shining. We might see blue skies, but yet again, there is a small cloud by the size of a hand. And out of this, God says, I will bring forth abundant rain. Abundant rain. Abundant rain. Abundant rain. Abundant rain. Family, the days of drought is over. It's over. It's behind us. And God is saying, I'm sending this new rain for purpose. God doesn't do anything without proper meaning, without a vision, without a purpose attached to it. So when God sends in this new rain, He's expecting something in return. We serve a master that watches every little details of absolutely everything. We serve a God who is a planner, who is an organizer, who sees things from the beginning and He sees it from the end and He sees it everywhere in the middle. He's all over it. He's all over your business. I want God to be all over my business. And God is saying, if you let me, I'll be all over your business. And here God is sending this new rain with a purpose. And the purpose is this: the harvest. The harvest. The harvest of souls. God is just saying this: I have sons and daughters that I've died for. They're out there. That's why I'm sending this rain, this new rain. It's for them. It's for them. It's going to bring refreshing for us. But the real purpose of this new rain, it's for this harvest that is outside of the four walls of this church. That's the purpose of that new rain. This new rain is coming and it's going to come hard. It's going to come strong. That's why it's saying, get ready. Get ready, church. Get ready. This new rain, you're going to need to contain it. And then you're going to need to unleash it. You're going to need to release that new rain out of the four walls of this church for it to have its full effect. The harvest would not just walk in these doors. They're just not going to do it. The corn doesn't get picked by itself. We plant things and we leave it out. But we got to do something about the harvest. We love the harvest. We like to talk about it. We like to get goosebumps about it. We love talking about souls. But souls must be won. Souls must be we must go after them. They will not just come to us. God is saying, I'm sending this new rain for the purpose of you being released out of the four walls of this church so that you can reach the four corners of this world. To go where His light is seen dim, to go where His voice is heard small, even to the ends of the earth. Isn't that what we're called to do? So this new rain is going to come for that specific purpose. For us to be equipped, to us to be empowered, so that we can reach, so that we can launch from here and touch the nations. And touch those people that are around us, that are suffering, that need to be reconciled back to the body of Christ. So God is saying, I'm sending this new rain for your harvest, for the harvest of souls. And this is how you must bring this harvest here. I want you to write this down. If you're taking notes, you write this down. And if you're not taking notes, you write this down. Ready? Wake up. Wake up. That's the number one. The harvest is here. It's always been here. It's always been there. Right outside the four walls of any churches. It's right here. What Jesus says is this. You know the saying. You know the saying. Everybody talks about the harvest. Everybody knows this saying. It was not a new thing when God was saying the harvest. Everybody knew about the harvest. But yet again, when Jesus was speaking, he was speaking to this disciple to tell them, wake up! Wake up! Four months before, between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. What Jesus is doing here, he's shaking us to wake up. To wake up and not to be complacent. Not to be happy with just four and no more. Not be happy with just the way church as usual. We're tired of just doing this. Amen. We're just tired of just doing church as usual. It's time we start shaking everything from its foundation, from its core, and we start doing what God has called you and me to do. We are called to go into every man's world. To tell them about a God who loves them unconditionally. That's what we are called to do. So today, I'm releasing you to go and fulfill that call. If you have ever felt like, maybe I am not equipped. Maybe I don't have a title to my name. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Guess what? If you are a born again believer, you are equipped to go and tell somebody about Jesus. So the challenge for you is this. When you leave this place, you go to Safeway. That's your harvest field, by the way. You probably thought you're just going there to get some bread and milk and eggs, but that's your harvest field. Your workplace is your harvest field. Your neighborhood is your harvest field. Your family. Your extended family. That's your harvest field. You got cousins, you got uncles, you got great uncles, you got many families spread all around the world. That's your harvest field. Lead with grace, followed by God's love, his unconditional love, and God's going to open up doors for the harvest that you have not yet seen. That's where it starts. It starts with us. It's time we start looking at the harvest from my perspective. What can I do, Jesus? Whom do I have you placed in my sphere of influence that I can tell about you? So your homework is this, church. Bring somebody here to church. Simple. It's an easy task. Bring somebody here whom you're trying to reach for God. Invite them to church. The worst thing they can do is say, not now. No. That's the worst thing. But invite, reach out. That is the key. Reach out. Reach out. Reach out of your comfort zone. Go and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. Because this harvest requires waking up and looking around. When you start looking around, believe me, God will bring those people. Immediately you're going to see this person there. It's like, yeah, come. Come, let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about what he's done for me. Work on this 1 minute testimony that you have. You don't need to give a whole lot of story about yourself. Just 1 minute of what God has done. 60 seconds of what God has done. Can you come up with 60 seconds of what God has done in your life that only him can get the credit for? That's your testimony. That's what you use to reach the lost. You don't have to go to Bible college to figure that out. You just need to be a willing, broken vessel. Say, you know what, Jesus, I don't know enough, but in you I'm everything. You know what, you just lead me or guide me, I'm going to go do it. Put the words in my mouth. I'm embarrassed, I'm shy, but let me break out of this. That's what it takes. After I got saved, guess what I was doing? I was out on the streets telling people about Jesus. 1 o'clock in the morning, that was my ministry. I would out on the streets of London where people would actually come out of the bars. That's about the time. That's about the good time to go and tell somebody about Jesus. I remember going around with a group of people. We'll wait because it's the harvest was plentiful. Believe me, it was plentiful. They were all right in the central London. They were coming out. And guess what we were doing? We had a little mic, a little amp. I stood. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about my Jesus, what he's done for me. He took me out of the pits of hell and he gave me a new life. And I remember doing this over and over again. We kept bringing people over, like to church all the time on Sundays. That was our Friday night party time for us. That's what it takes. It takes us to get out of our comfort zone and do something amazing for God. That's what it's going to take to bring in the harvest. Wake up. And number two is this. To bring in the harvest, we must break up. Break up. Plant the good seeds in Hosea 10:12. Plant the good seeds of righteousness and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow or break up the hard ground of your hearts. I got to say this again because this is really good. That's good stuff right there. Break up the hard ground of your hearts. For now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. Break up the hard ground of your heart. Allow the Holy Spirit to do that. Only him can. He's gentle. He's kind. He's sweet. He's going to come in and show you some of the places that needs to be broken up. That needs to be opened up for you. Out of this, he will shower you with righteousness. So when you go out, and you start witnessing and you start bringing in the harvest. Guess what? You're not going to do it on your own righteousness because you cannot stand on your own righteousness. You're going to do it on the righteousness of God, on his right standing. You're going to be able to shower somebody else with love because you've been showered yourself with God's love. Because you've been showered with God's love, you can show that unconditional love to somebody else. Because you know where the mess that you were in before you were showered. You know the stench before the shower. But when you were showered with God's love, you were renewed. You carry a new fragrance. From that new rain came a new fragrance. You were showered under this new rain by the power of God to give you a brand new fragrance. A fragrance of peace. A fragrance of love. A fragrance of God's righteousness. So when you go and you reach a loss, you're not standing alone. God is standing with you. God is standing with you. At the end of the day, these are his sons and daughters. These are his. He's watching out for them. He's making sure that they are safe, even though they don't know him. He loves them just as much. You got to hear that. He loves you just as much as he loves them. God sees the heart before he sees anything else. So that's why it says, break up the fallow ground or the hard ground of your hearts. Because that's where he is. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for a broken heart for his people. He's not looking for people who's got it all together. He's looking for people who are broken for him. When you cry out to God, you say, Lord, I'm broken for you. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going to be going. What am I going to be doing? But I'm trusting you. Amen. That's where God shows up. That's where he shows up more powerful. Because he knows that when he's doing it, no one else can get the credit for it. That's one thing that God will never share, is his glory. He will never share his glory with anybody. So when God is about to unleash something miraculous or powerful, he's going to do it all because of him. Because he wants to. Because he can. Because he's Almighty God by himself. He's God all by himself. He doesn't need our help to be God. He's Almighty God. He's the El Shaddai. The Almighty God. He sees the heart before he sees everything else. So don't harden your hearts when the harvest is going to come in. Believe me, you're going to see people that are going to be flooding through these doors that are not going to look like your typical Christian. They might look very rough. Do you think God cares? He doesn't. These are his sons and his daughters that we're talking about. And he's super protective over his kids. When he sees the people coming in, he wants our heart to break as his heart breaks. So prepare our hearts for the harvest. Don't harden our hearts and put expectations on people. That's the way they should look. That's the way they should smell. That's the way they should carry themselves. They're going to walk in here broken. Are we ready for broken people? Are we ready for the lost that are going to walk in here needing help, needing support, needing... They are on life support. They need Jesus. They're looking for Jesus. And they're looking at you and me and saying, could you hook me up with Jesus? Are we going to be ready for this? Or are we just going to talk about how beautiful the harvest is? Lord, that's so beautiful, so wonderful. Yes, there is a harvest. That's what Jesus said. Disciples, wake up. Wake up. Look, it is ripe. It is ready for the harvest. And then my last point is this. Faith up. Faith up. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and be thrown into the sea, and it will happen. It will happen. So this harvest that we're expecting, guess what? It will happen. It's coming. It's coming. Turn to your neighbor. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. The harvest is coming. this new rain is going to bring forth a harvest that we will not be able to contain this thing. That's what we're expecting. That's what we hear. We're not here to just to have church and have a few goosebumps. We're here for a purpose. We're here to do the work that He's called us to do. That's our assignment. That's our job. We've been given one job. One job. Remember we say this in the Coast Guard? One job. We've been given one job. Do it right. One job. That's our one job. One job. Let's do it. We can unite and be unified as one body for this harvest. Not a single person can do it alone. Not a single church can do it alone. The harvest is so great that if we don't unify it as one body under Him, under His authority, we will lose this harvest. It's about time we wake up. Faith up. Don't just speak to the mountain. Because believe me, the enemy will not want us to reach this harvest. It will be a mountain on our path. But the word says, you speak to this mountain. Don't just talk about the mountain. We can talk about the mountains and mountains here. There's mountains there that we must. There's rules. There's this. There's that. There's that. All of these things could be mountains that stop us from seeing the true harvest and going after it. But when we speak to the harvest, when we speak to the mountains, and we say, be lifted up and be cast into the sea, our faith must have a voice. Our faith must have a voice. If our faith is silent, the enemy wins. Apostle Paul says it this way. I believe, therefore I spoke. I believe, therefore I spoke. If we believe and we are totally convinced that this is the word of God, we must speak it. We must not remain silent. We might even get ridiculed for our faith. We might even be the laughing stock of this island. What do you think they're doing up there? What is wrong with them? Who do they think they are? Sometimes faith will make you look stupid until it starts to rain. Sometimes faith will make you look stupid until it rains. Ask Noah. Ask Noah. I want you to stand, church. We got a couple more hours to go. I hear the sound of abundant rain. I hear the sound of abundant rain. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Many of you have been in a drought in your personal life for a long time. You've been in this drought for a long time. And God is now saying, this season is over. It's over. It's over. God is going to spring forth new life into this coming up season. Dead bones, they're going to come to life in this season. Rivers going to start flowing in this season. From this river would flow life, healing, joy, peace, reconciliation between brothers and sisters. The time is now. Is right here. If you're here and you are in a drought season, I want you to step outside where you are and walk forward and come right here at the altar. We're putting an end to this season now. We are not going in the next season thirsty again for a drop of water, because abundant rain is here. It's here, it's here, it's here, it's now. We're gaining new ground this time. We're conquering new territories this time. We're shaking the gates of hell right now. Because Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's a new day. It's a new beginning. It's a new reign. The Holy Spirit is going to minister to you right now. You're going to feel His presence right now. Miss Annie Jones, I want you to help me pray. You stand right here. There's a healing anointing upon you. There's a healing anointing that's going to flow from your hands. Yeah. We're putting an end to this drought. This song minister to you.
Open the floodgates. Let your faith rise up. Come on. All I want is all you are. Will you meet me here again? 'Cause all is all you are. Will you meet me here again? 'Cause all I want is all you are. Will you meet me?
shall be. Pray for baby. Pray for Shelby. Someone here has been given a bad report, a negative report. Something that you're thinking about it and you're like, there is no way out. It might be a legal issue, it might be something. Whatever it is, it's private. You stay where you are. But I want you to receive this word. God is about to turn it around in your favor. God is about to turn it around in your favor. Hallelujah. Would you all please stand as we close? This is church. This is what it's supposed to be. A place where people come broken. When they leave the place, they are different because they had a face-to-face encounter with God. I've had a face-to-face encounter with Him. And I'm leaving this place different. Can I get some house lights on? Thank you. Father, we thank you that you've met us here, right in the middle. The place where you are is right in the middle. And you've met us. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I release a blessing upon each and every one. Thank you, Lord God, that is, as they go, they are blessed. They are blessed. They are empowered to do the task that you've called them to do. In Jesus' name. Go, church, and get the harvest.